Way back when I was thinking about starting a high-ticket dropshipping business, the one thing I was looking for was someone to show me what one of these sites looks like. So John and I have done that for you at dropshipbreakthrough.com/go. So head to dropshipbreakthrough.com/go and watch the free training.
I know everything about my business. I know everything about my products, and nobody can give as good a service as me. And so I'm not going to hire somebody because I don't have confidence. I've never done it before. I don't think I'll find the right person, and they just won't do as good a job as me. And so I'm just going to keep putting it off and keep putting it off and keep putting it off.
Welcome to the Dropship Podcast, where you'll learn how to build and grow a high-ticket dropshipping business and hear stories from successful e-commerce entrepreneurs. Let's kick this thing off.
Hey, welcome to the Dropship Podcast. And I got some feedback in my email the other day, and I kind of wanted to address it on the podcast. It came from a student of ours. Call him what he is. He's a prolific student of ours. And I also heard this from one of our partners as well, that they're doing well. They're doing really, really well, but they're doing everything. And your boy John here convinced them to hire some people. And this person gave feedback that said, oh my God, why did I wait so long to hire somebody? I was actually able to take a day off. I feel so much better. I finally have time to focus on the things that grow my business because I've done this. We've talked about others on this podcast who have gotten to millions of dollars and they're still answering every phone call, processing every order, answering every email. It's not impossible, but man, it'll drive you insane here, right? And so I don't know. Tentatively, this is hired. Just fucking hire someone already. I don't know. I really just wanted to give you props. I genuinely don't know where to go with this podcast, other than I struggle with this too. And you've been on my case to hire people. You've been on our students' case to hire people. It doesn't always work out, but you know it does work out a lot of the time, and it sure relieves a lot of stress. And so, like, I just wanted to give you a platform. One, to acknowledge you for helping some of our students in that way, and if it helps somebody listening to this, that's great. But you know, give you a platform to tell everyone, just fucking hire someone already.
Yeah. So I mean, you have one of these really nice double edged swords about business. Is that the more successful you get, and the better your business is doing, your workload is going to increase, right? We start off as solo entrepreneurs, as it's often termed, where we're the business, essentially, right? We're the guy calling the suppliers, we're the guy setting up the website, we're the person running the ads, we're the person answering the phone, we're everything in the business. And that's a great way to start because it's a really cost-effective way to start a business, right? And one of the lovely things about our business model is that you can do that. You don't need to hire five people from the start to run the business from you and carry that, what would be a big overhead if you had, you know, like that many staff, like a lot of traditional businesses have. And the reason why a lot of traditional businesses go broke, you know, and are in that statistic of the businesses that the whatever massive percentage of businesses don't make it past their first year or something. And we don't have that, which is nice. But if you're listening in and you'd like to take the first steps towards building your own high-ticket dropshipping business, head to dropshipbreakthrough.com/go, where we've got a free training waiting for you that's going to walk you through the first steps you need to take to start your own high-ticket dropshipping business. And I'm going to walk you through an actual example of what one of these businesses looks like. Once you start making sales and you start making more and more sales, and maybe you get to the point where you're like Bill, and you know, at that point he's crossed the $1 million mark in revenue, is that there's going to be a lot of people calling your business. There's going to be a lot of orders that need fulfilling. There's going to need to be bookkeeping that needs to be done. There's going to be heaps of growth opportunities that you want to take advantage of, but they're going to require work, consistent work. And so you're going to get to the point, or you can get to the point, where you basically have created a job for yourself, right? Where you're working in the business, not on the business, all the time, like 40 hours a week, 50 hours a week, 60 hours a week. And yes, if you're just at the beginning, you're probably thinking, well, that sounds like a great problem to have because you're making sales, you're probably making money. And it's true, it's a great problem to have, but it is a problem. And it is one that you do need to solve. And I think at this point, often you need to solve it earlier than that, than you get to that point. Because it's harder to solve it when you're consumed by the business than it is if you start solving it a little bit earlier. And I'll get to why that is. But this is a point in your business where some real fears start to uncover themselves. And once again, you can overthink this and you can really get into your head about it. And this was Bill's problem. This is our partner's problem that you're referencing. And I think to a large extent is that when your business is going well, you fear bringing other people into your business because you're scared that your business results are going to go down because you think they can't do it as well as you. So you're the thoughts that come into people's head, and one of the first things that people should be outsourcing is customer service. The reason, like one of the first, not the first, but one of the first. And the reason for that is because customer service is unpredictable. So if you, as the business owner, you can't go through every day of your life and at this point when you're, you know, full-time on your business, particularly having to answer the phone every 10 minutes. How are you going to get anything else done? You can't, right? Because, you know, getting into peak work state requires at least half an hour. And if you're dipping in and out to answer the phone, you lose X amount of minutes every time you answer the phone on either side of the call as well. It just really messes up your day. You don't get anything done. And so you've got to take that off your plate. But at that point, you're going to go, well, I know everything about my business. I know everything about my products and nobody can give as good a service as me. And so I'm not going to hire somebody because I don't have confidence. I've never done it before. I don't think I'll find the right person. And they just won't do as good a job as me. And so I'm just going to keep putting it off and keep putting it off and keep putting it off. But the workload's increasing and increasing and increasing. I'm getting more and more stressed. I'm not spending any time on myself, any personal time. And you run the risk of burnout. And if you burn out at that point, then your business is pretty screwed. Let's be honest, because you're not going to show up to do the work. You're going to start hating your business. And so there's some massive risks here in accepting those fears and letting them hold you back from taking that jump. And so I think there are a lot of fears here, and kudos to Bill. He pushed through them and went out and proved himself wrong, because I know that was Bill's fear, is that my products are really technical and I don't think anybody else can deal with these things like in the way that I can. And the reality is it's probably true, right? Like in the beginning, it's true. But what I take people back to with any task is always, I take people back to when you first got into your niche, what did you know about it? For 90-something percent of people, they're not going to be an expert in their niche when they start. They probably knew nothing about it, right? They don't use the products, didn't use the products. And so you've learned how to sell them, right? So if you did it, you are not a special butterfly, right? You're not super intelligent compared to anyone else you could hire, blah, 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 all that sort of stuff. So if you learned how to do it with no one helping you, imagine how quickly you could train somebody with the knowledge you have to get somewhat close to where you're at. You're going to do it in a lot less time. And so this is not something you need to be afraid of. The reality, and not the other bit I'd put with that, is that it doesn't matter if somebody is 80% as good as you, but they take all of the load off your shoulders. That's a massive win, because what you can now do is go and do all the things that you're not doing to grow your business. And so even if your conversion rate dropped a little bit, but you were able to do the things to double your traffic and get a small, tiny percentage less conversions off, you're still, from a revenue and profit perspective, going to be miles in front. Like if they weren't quite as good as you. And so really what holds people back in this space is fear. Fear that I don't know what I'm doing, fear that I'm not going to get somebody as good as me, fear that my business is going to be wrecked by somebody who comes in to help me and all this sort of thing. And you've just got to take that leap, I think. I think most people, when they get their toe in the water and actually have a go, even if it doesn't work out perfectly the first time, like anything, you do something for the first time, you'll probably get a few things wrong, right? When it comes to hiring somebody, training them, doing standard operating procedures and things like that for them, it's going to be a learning experience. But like other things in the journey, like calling suppliers, for example, or that, like, think back to the other points in the journey where you were fearful of taking the next step and you took it. And did it end up being as bad as you thought it was going to be? No, it didn't. Going live with your store, another one that people fear. Hiring people is no different. Do you know what I mean? Well, and so
I want to apologize, Bill. I didn't mention your name. Just to be fair, John called you out here. I didn't want to call you out. I just we love you, Bill, and I'm sure this has been a big boon for you. One thing that both of these people mentioned that we're speaking of was the help from Valentina. And so, like, shout out to Valentina. She is a coach in the tree of Elliot Rowe, who is my coach, and she has been amazing for this community. We're recording this pre-event. To get ahead of things here, but she's going to be at the live event, or already was at the live event as this came out, talking uniquely about high ticket dropshippers' experiences here and the things that come up. So shout out to Valentina. She's awesome. I know she works with a couple dozen people in our community now, which is really, really cool. But I want to throw one thing back at you, John. So I remember, speaking of live events, when we were in Noosa, Australia last November, this topic came up and it showed up right in the room. Somebody was talking about this. This was a big fear for them. And they were like, John, I know hiring somebody would be beneficial, but let's be realistic. My phone rings 4 times a day, maybe 5 times a day. How do I hire someone to answer those 5 phone calls? What are they going to do with the rest of their time? Like, how do I fill the rest of their time? And you had such a unique answer that was, like, super powerful. If you don't remember it, I can hammer it out for you if you don't get it. But it was such a great answer of that, of helping that person realize that if their 8 hours wasn't interrupted those 5 times, that was worth every fucking penny so that they could focus on their business. They didn't need to go find an SEO task for the person answering their phone, or go find an ads task for them. But I imagine this is something coming up for somebody at home going, wow, yeah, I would love to have someone answer the phone, but I don't have a full-time job for them. How often does that come up for you? What is the response that you give people?
Yeah, and absolutely correct me if I don't give exactly the same response or I miss something, because I actually don't remember my exact answer to that at the time. But look, yeah, like I think the approach I take to this sort of stuff is not so much thinking about what's going to fill up their time. It's like I quantify what my time is worth, right? So, like, if you're answering phone calls, and you think about some of the phone calls you have to answer in a high-ticket dropshipping business, sometimes, you know, if it's a customer's got a lot of questions, you could be on the phone for half an hour. You could be on the phone for 20 minutes. You could be on the phone for 15 minutes, right? So you've got that chunk of time. But what happens if you have to break a task that you're working on where you're in flow? What happens from a productivity perspective is you actually lose time after the call as well, because you then have to get off the call, wrap it up. You might have to send them an email or send them a draft order or call a supplier or something to really assist them. So you got a bit more time there. And then you have to get back into the task you were already doing and get back up to full power on it if you don't happen to get distracted and procrastinate at that point as well, right? So a 20-minute call is actually really probably could be a 40-minute loss of productive time for you, right? Now, not a lot of people realize this when you really think about it. And so you have to quantify that. Like, if I'm losing 40 minutes 5 times a week, right? Like, I mean, that's a large chunk of time, particularly if you're not full-time on your business as well, and you've only got a limited amount of time to work on your business every week. So I would say to myself, really, rather than saying, like, what is having somebody like not doing any, like that I've hired not doing anything all the time, think about the value of having that person to you. Like, what's your time worth per hour? Like, I know what my time's worth per hour. I know Ben knows what his time is worth per hour. Like, I have a number on it in my head. And if I can hire somebody to give me an hour of my time back, right, and I pay them that much for a week, and they sit there doing nothing else other than that other hour, then I'm ahead, right, because I've got my time back. And I don't care what they're doing, frankly. They could be doing whatever. Now, in that example, you could find a few other things for them to do, right? Like, there are other things to do, but I would challenge people that it doesn't really matter. That's not the point of hiring the person in the first place, is to filling all of their time up. It's about what does your business get out of having them take those calls? What do you as a business owner get back from having them take those calls off your plate? That's the value. The value isn't having them employed for 30 hours and you're squeezing that 30-hour, lemon as hard as you can to get all the juice out of it. That's not the point of hiring somebody. If you're thinking that, you have the wrong mindset around hiring in the first place. But in that example, there are a lot of other things that they could be doing. You shouldn't have a customer service person doing SEO work or anything like that, because they're not going to be good at that, right? You're hiring the best customer service person. What can they do? Well, they should be calling all of your existing customers in their downtime, chasing people up for things like reviews, chasing people up for to see if there's opportunities to sell them something else, touching base with people to see if they're happy with their order, calling leads that you might have come into your business, like following up on abandoned carts, following up on draft orders that haven't converted yet. Like there's a shitload of, if you're in a B2B space, they could be proactively reaching out to businesses. You could give them a phone number list and say, hey, I want you to call all of these businesses and introduce us to them, right? Just touch base with them, give them a script to work with and, you know, train them up to do that. Like there's so many things.
Calling suppliers to verify what's in stock, what's out of stock. Is it
so many
invaluable
things they can do. Yeah, so many. Follow up on orders with suppliers. Hey, has this shipped yet? You know, like if you've got orders that you need to follow up on, like there's a lot of things that if you really think about it, you can have that person's time used in other ways than just waiting for the phone to ring. But even if they were just waiting for the phone to ring, I would challenge you that it's still such a valuable exercise for you as the business owner to just know that that's taken care of and you're not going to be interrupted and you can focus your energies on things that are really going to move the needle in your business that only you as the business owner can do at that point in time. And you're going to have a lot of those. So, it's just another one of those things that you just have to suck it and do it. And it's not going to be perfect. There's going to be points where it's a little bit messy, but that's the business owner's journey. That's the experience of entrepreneurship in every time you do a new thing, and that's okay.
Yeah, getting that, Hormozy calls it maker time back, is the most valuable thing. So whatever you put, let's just say it's $100 an hour of your time, you can hire someone overseas for under $10 an hour, or you could hire somebody locally for probably $20 an hour here in the U.S., there's still an $80 arbitrage there. So if all they did was free you up to not have any interruption, so you can do deep work and get the SEO stuff done, get your email flows done, get your remarketing set up, do the things that are going to grow your business, is well worth your time. Even if they only answer one call a day, it doesn't matter. It was well worth your time. It was well worth your finances. And to John's point, that's right where you went to in Australia as well. Is like, here's 10 other things they could be doing that are not your SEO, that are not uploading products, things that are out of their zone of genius here, but a bunch of things they can be doing: processing orders, calling customers, calling leads, calling abandoned cars, calling suppliers. There's a lot that they can be doing there. And so this is something I struggled with a lot. I still struggle with it. If I'm honest with you, maybe that's a control thing for me. And so you're not alone in this process. John's been pivotal in yelling at me to make some of the hires that I've needed made to. And so, you know, shout out to Bill, since we named him, and our partner out there, who I think we're all learning this lesson as we go. And there's probably a million more levels and hires that we need to make along the way. And I'll say it for you, John, just fucking hire someone already.
Thanks for listening to the Dropship Podcast. You can find all the show notes for this episode at dropshippodcast.com. And if you're ready to take the next step in your dropshipping journey, we invite you to join us inside Dropship Breakthrough, where John and I will walk you through step-by-step in starting your own high-ticket dropshipping e-commerce business. But that's not all. Dropship Breakthrough will also teach you everything you'll need to know to grow your business and take it to the next level. So head over to dropshipbreakthrough.com and sign up for our free training that will help you take the first steps towards building and growing your own profitable high-ticket dropshipping business.
John and I both love business, think about it all the time, can't turn it off, and don't know why anyone would want to. And because of that, we started a second podcast where we can talk about everything we've ever wanted to talk about in business. Not just dropshipping. We like talking about all things business. So if you want to hear John and I talk about all sorts of stuff, from camel meat dropshipping businesses to PDF dropshipping to a guy gambling $100 every single day on YouTube Shorts to how OnlyFans taught us lessons in business, we're all over the place over there, but it's a really fun podcast. So if you're a podcast listener, you love John and I, head over to your podcast player of choice and look for The Low Bar Podcast. You'll see a blue image and you'll see a cartoon version of John and myself. And go back and start at episode one. I promise you will not regret this. This is one of the more fun projects that I have done recently. I know John's having fun too, so we'd love it if you joined us. Check out The Low Bar Podcast on YouTube or wherever you prefer to listen to podcasts.